This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living with me, Tishao Eek. It's our public health segment today. And my co-host, Azrul Mohamed Khalid, CEO of the Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy, joining me via Zoom. How are you, Azrul?
Hey, well, Tishao Eek, it's a very hot day, it seems.
And we are in the freezing cold studio here in BFM. And right here in the studio with me is our guest for today's segment, Dr. Ahmad Munawar Helmi Salim, founder of Be Vital Physiotherapy Center. Some of you may know Dr. Munawar's name from Imaret, which is another NGO that we featured quite a lot here on BFM's health segment. But today, he's sort of wearing a different hat to talk about the unmet need for rehab in the public healthcare system. Sector. So if you've had, whether it's a sports injury where you need physiotherapy or some sort of joint pain, or perhaps, you know, if you or a loved one has been a stroke survivor and you've needed some sort of rehab like occupational or speech therapy, basically, you know, every one of us will either need services like these ourselves or have someone in our family require these services because they're so important when it comes to recovering from whatever that illness or injury is, recover your functions for daily living. But at the same time, if you've ever had to avail yourselves of these services, if it's in a government hospital, you know what the challenges are. Long waiting times, you just, you know, have to wait forever to get an appointment. If you have been going to private hospitals or clinics, the bill at the end of the day is devastating almost, you know. So there is a huge burden in our society requiring these services. There's also an unmet need for affordable and accessible rehab services. So that's what we want to discuss today. Do call us 03-7733-2900 is the number to call, or WhatsApp 018-789-8899 if you have questions or if you'd like to weigh in on this. And Dr. Munawar, I must congratulate you first. You've just returned from Birmingham, where you know, you were the team doctor, chief medical officer, was it?
There was two of us. Yeah. I was one of the doctors.
Yes, for our Malaysian contingent at the Commonwealth Games, and they did so fantastically well. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And Dr. Munawar, if you could, I think, set the stage for us to help us understand rehabilitation in this big picture, you know, in terms of our healthcare and our recovery. And of course, you know, from your specific perspective of physiotherapy, perhaps you'd like to sort of explain and ensure that everybody understands what we're talking about today. What kinds of services are they?
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you, BFM, for inviting me. Hi, Ezra. So basically, my background is sports medicine. I'm a sports medicine specialist. And rehabilitation, when the word Latin came from rehabilitation, re meaning again, and rehabilitation or habit meaning to become fit again. So rehabilitation is basically you becoming recovery to become your function at your functional level. So in that perspective, you can have any injuries or any illness and which you have lost in terms of because of pain or because of you don't move or weakness, that loss that we want to minimize. And then at the end of the day, you want to get back to your functional level. So physiotherapy, meaning physio is physiology or functional, and then therapy is you therapy so that you get back to your functional level. So that's basically it. So it is wide. It is a very wide wide specialty. So rehabilitation, you have musculoskeletal rehabilitation, you have neurological, you have cardiac, you have respiratory. For myself, in the sports medicine, we see a lot of sport injuries and of course musculoskeletal. So in the healthcare fraternity, we have the sports medicine specialist. Of course, there's for musculoskeletal, you have the orthopedic surgeons. And of course, they have rehab physician too. So all of us work together, and the the main unsung hero behind all this is the physiotherapist. So we work in a multi-sector, and then we work in a team to get back patient to their functional level, and that is where rehabilitation is all about.
Mm. Azru?
Well, yeah, Dr. Munawar, it sounds very complex. It sounds like there's a whole infrastructure behind it. But, you know, like us Malays, you know, and many traditional societies, I mean, we've heard urut seems to be what we always depend on. So what's the difference between what you're describing with the urut that usually happens after somebody sprains something or some joint, you know, sometimes after activity sukan and some other, yeah, and then we go for this massage or urut. So what's the difference between
and you're describing for, and yeah, and for the Chinese community, right, the tita and yeah, it's really the same, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll get back to the urut. So basically, urut or massage, even in sports medicine, you have sports masseurs who does sports massage. So that is just one component of recovery. So there is a role, for example, for massage, and then a few other treatments. For example, dry needling. In the Chinese community, you have acupuncture, a chiropractor. So, but in Malaysia itself, the big part of it is rehabilitation, and then under that, there's few components. In sports medicine, especially for musculoskeletal injuries, when you get injured, for example, you have an ACL injury or a hamstring injury or just an ankle sprain, there are phases of rehab, and this will start with physiotherapy. There's few phases. Firstly, you want to reduce the pain, and then after that, you want to reduce the pain and swelling. And then you gain back the range of motion, flexibility, and then strength, and then balancing and back to full function. So these are the phases. Coming back to your tutor question about sport for massage or urut. So there is a role, but not in the acute stage and not for all types of injuries, no. So every injury, that's like any other illness, you have a treatment plan or a modality that you have to go through. And this is, I think, is important to understand that for the public to know that it is treatable and you can recover from it. Just that you need to understand, and number one, where to go, and number two, the process of getting back to your normal function.
Yeah, and it sounds, Azru, it sounds like there is still a bit of a disconnect when it comes to the priorities that we place on the role of rehab services, where it actually shouldn't be seen as a nice to have, but it's actually key in that whole recovery paradigm, right? And, you know, what do you think about the increasing need, Azru, for rehab, looking at the population needs as we look 5, 10, 20 years down the road as well?
Well, this is a very fortunate, well, actually opportune time to talk about rehabilitation. Right now, the Ministry of Health is organising a huge health policy summit in PWTC, and I'm looking through the different discussions, and rehabilitation is not there, you know, and it's really important when we look at the continuum of care, needs to include post-treatment as well. It's not just about getting treated for whatever ailments or diseases that you have. It's also about that post part. And very often, especially when you talk about debilitating conditions or conditions such as stroke, for example, if a stroke survivor needs to be able to recover some of the or overcome some of the deficits that come as a result of being stricken by stroke, you know, physiotherapy, rehabilitation, all of that plays a very, very integral part in that continual care of making sure that person is able to survive that stroke episode. But for some reason today, I'm sure Dr. Munawar agrees with me here, is that we don't really think about rehabilitation as being part of the treatment. It may be something that is later on when, you know, you want to be able to increase mobility, you want to be able to ensure that person's independent and not dependent on other people, then you decide to do that rehab. But the reality here is that it's still considered an afterthought, but also, shall it, what is quite worrying today is that rehabilitation is also perhaps even considered a privilege or luxury, because the cost of rehabilitation can be quite crippling and maybe out of reach of those who are less able to afford.
Dr. Munawa, can you weigh in on that? Is that the reality right now?
Oh yeah, for sure. And if you look, we look on the ground, so we do a lot of charity work and then volunteer work on the ground, and this is where actually why we do it in the first place. So what we see is that the gap is that we have many B40s, lower income communities, even homeless or stateless or even refugees. They do not have access to, probably they have access to primary care, but then that's it. Diagnose, treatment, treatment until to medication, and that's it. When this community are actually the ones who does lot, and they have does lot of 3D work. So it laborious work, dangerous, difficult work, and they are highly prone to injuries.
Yeah.
And when they are injured, they can't work, and they are, some of them are just, they are the only breadwinner of the family. And because of that, they cannot work, and then that's it for the whole family. This livelihood totally gone. So that is where we come in. We have many clients who, after we started for only a few months, who cannot work because of pain, back pain, or just knee pain, or even like stroke patients. But then after just few treatments, 3-4 treatments, they can, we can see a lot of improvement. Yeah. And at the end of the day, doctor, now I can work again. So there is a treatment, I think, and we have to correct the misconceptions that once you have the disease or you have that injury or have that, it's a chronic thing and that's it. No, yeah, it is treatable, just that you have to know where to get it and how to get the treatment.
Yeah, so that's you are describing what B-Vital does, B-Vital Physiotherapy Center. You're basically subsidizing services, physio services, so that they can be accessible for a large proportion of people who are, number one, like on one hand, they are at high risk of injuries, and on the other hand, they're not able to even access these services because, you know, if you think about the long waiting list for physio in government facilities, we are talking about lost income for weeks or months for them, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah. So if I just called again, just want to make sure how is it on in the hospital right now. It is a long waiting time, and then it takes 1 month even to get an appointment, let alone to get a follow-up appointment. And then this kind of treatment, you need regular, weekly at least. And it's not, in if you go through the treatment process, it's not that long, just 3-4 treatments, and you can see the outcome. So it's just that I think we need to have more awareness on this. And then like Azrul said just now, it is highly needed. And it's a gap in the treatment accessibility.
We'll go for a quick break. Azrul, I know you have follow-up questions, so hang on to that thought. We're speaking to Dr. Ahmad Munawa Helmi Salim today, founder of B-Vital Physiotherapy Centre, along with my co-host Azrul Muhammad Khalid, CEO of the Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy. For our public health segment, we're talking about rehabilitation services and why there's this glaring gap when it comes to accessible services, whether it's in the public healthcare sector or privately, right? You know, yes, you could say that they are available in private facilities, but then they cost, pardon the pun, an arm and a leg. So at the end of the day, what happens is that a lot of people are just missing out on these services, which are crucial in terms of their recovery and getting them back to daily function, because a lot of the conditions or injuries that precipitate the need for these services don't have to leave them being disabled or dysfunctional. So do call us or WhatsApp us if you have questions or thoughts to share, if you have tried to access services and what have your experiences been. 0377332900 is the number to call, or WhatsApp 0187898899. We'll be right back on Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Shao-Ik, and my co-host, Azrul Muhammad Khalib, CEO of the Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy. It's our public health series today. We're speaking to Dr. Ahmad Munawar Helmi Salim, founder of B Vital Physiotherapy Centre. We're discussing the unmet need for rehabilitation services in public healthcare. And this could range from services like what Dr. Munawar specializes in, like physiotherapy, right up to speech, occupational therapy, even neuro rehab services. It's a vast range of services we're talking about. And the reason it's vast is because it can cater to so many diverse conditions and injuries that many people sustain and need these services in order to, and I'm going to take your phrase, Dr. Munawar, become fit again. That's the basis of the word rehabilitation. Azrul, you had a question to follow up with Dr. Munawar.
Yes, Dr. Munawar, you were talking about just now the vicious cycle of a person when they become injured, and then because of their not being able to rehabilitate themselves, they are forced to be not employed or unable to do their work, and then possibly even losing their jobs or opportunities for employment simply because they are not able to be fit again and to be able to gain. And therefore, it starts all over, you know, this inability to then, it spirals down, doesn't it? I mean, it causes people to even go into hardship and possibly even poverty to some extent when you look at the issue of unaddressing rehabilitation. And we do look at where the gaps are in terms of the inequality of access. But, you know, I'm reminded of one of the best hospitals or facilities for rehabilitation in Malaysia is really the Hospital Rehabilitasi Cheras, the HRC, if I'm not mistaken, which is, I've visited there. It's really great. It's in Cheras. But do we have many of these facilities across the country? Are there more that we can build? Is there enough money for these sort of facilities? And I think one of the most important questions is concerning how easy is it to get appointments to use these facilities, and are they accessible to the B40?
Yeah, so I think it's back again to demand and supply, right? So, I mean, the supply is not that many. In the hospital, you have rehabilitation department, you have rehab physicians, you have physiotherapists in the hospitals. But again, the demand is really, really a lot in the public. So in terms of, is it there? Yes. Accessibility is another issue that we have to look into. So I think that is why when we look at, again, when we look at the in the public or in the private sector, also they have, you do have that, the facilities, but again, it's accessibility in terms of financial. So where can we balance that? So the demand is there, and because of that, I think the mindset of the people right now is just when you have the pain, just live with it, and it's not good for your quality of life at the end of the day. So and then for us as a social enterprise, that's where we come in. We balance both of it. So we do serve the undeserved community. So with that, also the ones who can afford, we provide the accessibility to. And this is where I think probably it's not much for us, just for now it's a one center, but hopefully it open up more opportunities out there. This is just physiotherapy, musculoskeletal. You have a wide range of, like Shaik said just now, many parts of rehab. You have cardio, you have respi, and now, for example, for the post-COVID, you have many parts of rehab that you have to go through. Stroke, and there's a lot of neuro rehab that is you need to cater. So, yes, we do have in the public health sector. There's another one I think Perkaso have one, a good one in Malacca. So again, we have a good one, but it's not a lot. The supply can't meet the demand. So we came as a social enterprise, Be Vital. We try to balance that so that the undeserved community can have accessibility in terms of cost. So for us, we provide a minimum RM5, or sometimes we waive even the fees. But for the public, it's a normal fees. So we hope that this model we can apply to and expand to other parts. We're just in one part in Selayang for us.
Dr. Munawar, you mentioned about some of the fees there. Can you do a comparison of what kind of fees can one expect in the private sector, and then you compare it against the public sector? I mean, I've heard like hundreds of ringgit per session. I mean, what does it involve?
Oh yeah, so for the private sector, it can range from 160, 170 to 250, even to 300. Depends on what types of treatment you get.
That's per hour, is it?
Per hour, per session, per treatment. So it depends on what treatment is needed. In the public sector, it's usually per session. You have fees. And then I'm comparing, there's UMC hospitals too, and then there's also the General Ministry of Health Hospital. So you have fees, like minimal fees, 5 ringgit, and then 20 ringgit, 30 ringgit. And then I think as UMC hospital, there's charged about 50 ringgit. But for us, we do both, meaning that for public, it's low, about 160 ringgit, the lower end of the range. But for the marginalized communities, it's just 5 ringgit. So even we waive the fees because that is our main. Our social cost is to provide healthcare accessibility, and for this one, to provide physiotherapy to the undeserved communities. So for us to expand and to provide more help that we can provide, is we need to treat more patients. So that is where we open to public too.
And Dr. Munawar, you said that part of the problem is that people are simply not aware that they should undergo these services as part of their recovery program, right? And stick to some sort of regime, few sessions, follow your physiotherapist's advice, and you're probably able to get back on your feet. Now, do you think that part of that problem is... Fragmentation in the referral service, is that something you've observed?
100%. So basically, how we do it, we collaborate with the primary care for the GPs, for example. And for them, if they have patients that need physiotherapies, then can refer to us. Even the hospital who they think they saw patients who can afford and can want private treatment, they can refer to us. I think one of the awareness, and I'm just talking not just the public, even the medical fraternity, for example, they do not know where to refer and the importance of physiotherapy and rehabilitation. So you have people coming in. I think if you go to any clinic, or not any clinic, you go to your office, just ask any people who has back pains or neck pains or joint or just knee pains. We have a lot, but we are just probably just bare with the pain, which is actually not good for long-term wise. I think in this day and age, you have chronic diseases and we live longer. We need to improve our quality of life. And like if you mentioned in the beginning, it's currently not just to your functional back to your work, but also your livelihood. So I think this is where the needs are. I think even the high authority may look into it, that rehabilitation, you need to focus it. We have many patients who at the end of the day they can't work. I have a friend of mine who at the end of the day he's quite young, but because of stroke and paralysis he can't work, and then it's the breadwinner of the family. So, and this is one of many thousands of examples out there.
And we talked about facilities, and clearly already there's a gap there. What about, I mean, you can build many beautiful centres, But you need the staff, you need the trained therapists, the physiotherapists and all the rehab therapists, right? What's the picture there? And maybe you want to look at physiotherapy as an example.
Yeah, so if you look at the public health sector, it's quite minimal. You have probably one physio and then 9-10 patients. And you can just look at the waiting time, at least one, 2 weeks or 1 month even. Meaning that we can have the best facilities in the world, but we don't have the manpower. And that's the issue, I think, for the healthcare. It's not just physiotherapy, doctors, nurses, and now even physiotherapists. So the other thing, I think, one more importantly, is that physiotherapy, it's one thing you treat it with machines or with manual treatment, but most importantly, the education. And this is where I think it's lacking in the community, that to go to undergo a physiotherapy or rehabilitation process, the education, the empowerment to the patients, the education of what to exercise, what they can do at home, actually. Not every day they have to come to VCO. So this is what we try to empower our patients. And even I think most of it, especially during the COVID-19, you can't come to the physiotherapist. So we do online, we do video sessions and all. So number one is, again, the empowerment of the patients itself to undergo the physiotherapy, and then compliance to treatment. And of course, we can recover from it. I've seen many patients who can recover, just that you know how to do it.
Well, doctor, I have to ask you a difficult question. And this is, I think, common to a lot of people. In fact, myself, at one point, I was wondering whether I should see a physiotherapy because I had a knee injury that was impeding my running. And here's the thing, you know, you've mentioned about appointment times being long, facilities are limited according to geographical regions, maybe some places got, some places don't got. Third, maybe it's cost. So here's the thing, when does a person know when to go to a physiotherapist? Is it based on pain? Is it based on the kind of injury? And you know, how do you decide that this particular condition needs treatment at physiotherapy and when it doesn't? I mean, there's quite a lot of situations every day that people go through and they feel they don't need to, until one day they suddenly do.
Yeah. I think, again, back to the definition, when it affects your function and it affects your daily living, affects your daily living at work, and then it's where you need to seek treatment. So, number one, you go to a doctor first, because a doctor can be a primary care, can be a sports physician or orthopedics. And then from there, they will diagnose, they will assess and diagnose. And then physio is one of the modality and one of the treatment. Of course, there's a process to it for rehabilitation, and depends on what types of injury. Post-operation for ACL, for example, takes 6 to 9 months and up till 1 year. Ankle sprain, wow, probably up to 2 weeks. You have hamstring injury, probably 6 to 8 weeks. So it depends on what type of injury, but the first thing is the diagnosis. And then from there, the doctor will refer to a physiotherapist to get the treatment. So for us, for example, in our center, mostly we our patients are from referral from the primary care, but also we have walk-ins. But again, to your question just now, affects your living, affects your daily living, affects your functional, then you seek treatment either to a doctor first, or you can go on to a physiotherapist.
And I think that many of us are still guilty of, I wish I could have a pill, right, that would just take the pain away and get me back to normal. And Dr. Munawa is talking about empowering people to do the exercises, and that's where you see it falling apart, because they see their physiotherapist maybe once every 2 weeks, and in between they're not doing anything. And, you know, yeah, a lot of re-education, you know, even in those aspects as well. We'll come back from the break, talk a little bit about whether... and you've already alluded to it a little bit, Dr. Munawa, sort of videos and stuff like that that could help reach out to people so that they don't always have to travel to see a physio. How can we expand that a little bit more so that we bring rehab to the community rather than expecting them to travel to, let's face it, facilities that don't currently exist anyway? So my co-host, Azrul Muhammad Khalib, CEO of the Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy, my co-host for the public health segment, and we're talking to Dr. Ahmad Munawa Helmi Salim, founder of Be Vital Physiotherapy Centre. We'll be right back on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik, and my co-host, Azrul Muhammad Khalib, CEO of the Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy. It's our public health series today, and we're talking about rehab. And you wouldn't have thought that you would need to talk about something like rehab and, for an example, physiotherapy in the public health sense. But actually, it is a very, very crucial piece of the puzzle, because if we look at the public health burden of many diseases and injuries that people are living with or trying to manage, rehab is such a big part of that recovery and ensuring that they are able to regain function, reduce their pain, or even hopefully eliminate it completely and have better quality of life. So do call us or WhatsApp us if you have questions or experiences that you'd like to share when it comes to seeking rehab and physio. The number is 03-7733-2900 or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Dr. Munawar, you know, we've talked about the gaps where resources are lacking, facilities as well as the personnel, human resources are also we need to ramp it up there. Now, what if right now while we are working towards increasing those and investing in those, hopefully, right now can we increase access to rehab in the community already? Would technology be something that could be a quick hack in a way to ensure that some people in the more underserved communities could perhaps access without having to travel to facilities or wait for their appointments?
Yeah, thank you. So basically, I think the pandemic showed us there's a lot of possibilities, right? We had many during the pandemic, when people could not come to the hospitals and of course could not get follow up for their physiotherapy treatment, one of the solutions that we advise through online consultations, and then we give like videos and stuff, it is workable, but there's a few buts on it. Number one, that person has to be tech savvy. And of course, number two is need of compliance. And like Shoaib said just now in the beginning, it is back again to the patients. If you don't do it, it's again, you have the best video, the best treatment, the best exercise treatment. But if you don't do it, if you're not compliant, it won't work. So again, that is why sometimes you need that one or two sessions to come to the physio. They teach you, they guide you, and then they show you how to do it. And then you go back and then you do it yourself. And then along the line, you can provide the treatment through... You now have apps for it, not just videos, so apps. So even for our center, we usually the post-treatment is most important. So when we do the treatment, after that, we'll educate what exercise to do. And then they'll do at home where we send through either pictures or videos that they can do and continue it at home. So it is possible, but again, you have to be compliant and then tech savvy and all. Of course, again, with the undeserved community, mostly cannot do that. And that is why for us, again, as a social enterprise, we do both. We do a lot of outreach work. We go to the community who cannot come to our center. So again, on the weekends, we have volunteers, physiotherapists, volunteers who came in with us. We go to the B40 communities, refugee communities, the stateless. So this is where we outreach our services. And then if they can come, they come to our center later on. So we do both. One thing is we go to them physically, and the other, the ones who can do it, tech-savvy, we send videos and pictures and stuff. So, yes, this is some of the solutions. Probably it's not the best one, but probably we can explore more and other people can.
But it does show that then digital is a solution. It's part of the picture, but we can't expect it to be a magic bullet as well. You still need those resources there.
Correct.
Azrul?
I can't agree with you more, Dr. Munawar. I mean, when you think about it, technology can bridge distances in making sure that people who are out of reach, who can't come for their appointments because of something like COVID-19, for example, is able to get those apa tunjuk cara lah, how to go about doing the kind of exercises and to be able to do those movements. But you know, there are a lot of YouTube videos on physiotherapy out there, and honestly, to address the tech savvy point, maybe all you need to do is link it to a WhatsApp message and then forward it, and then you settle, especially with the older generation, right, since they're more savvy or WhatsApp than we are, and you know, you can address that. But here's the thing, something that you mentioned just now really is very important, I think, for us to emphasize, is you need to show how it's done properly, right? And you need a proper physiotherapist to do that. But many a time we don't get that kind of privilege or access to a physiotherapist. So how would you go about, you know, addressing some of those problems, especially in far locations that, you know, have access problems for internet or mobile phone? I mean, do you guys, as Be Vital, you know, you drive out of a mobile unit and go into some of these areas and do outreach work?
Yeah, so almost every weekend now, we go to outreach for certain communities. We collaborate with their community leaders. Currently, it's more on the Klang Valley that we go to. Of course, we try to expand the more volunteers we have. And today right now, I'm just expressing more any physiotherapy who wants to volunteer with us, just can come on board with us. So what we do is, during the weekends, just a half a day on Saturdays or Sunday, we go to these community centres. Then we call the community leaders to call this patient who has some of this problem, who sometimes they do not know it's treatable. So we do this treatment. And then the only difficult part of us, we are lack of volunteers too. So I call to any volunteers, even doctors too, who want to join us. So we do this on a regular basis for now, for the past few months. So we do both. There are people who come into our center in Selayang, and other also who we go to them for outreach for this centers. So yeah, so this is how we do it so far.
So, you know, my worry about this kind of approach, and, you know, you guys are doing an amazing job and the volunteerism is so commendable, but my worry is not sustainable. Kan? And, you know, Dr. Munawar, you work, you volunteer with IMARAT as well. And I'm sure you also see where, you know, in instances of emergencies or disasters like floods, the system will just break down, right? People who perhaps even sustain injuries due to a disaster lagi cannot access the services that were already weakened in the first place. So we do need a more sustainable model, and that investment in the public healthcare part, in rehab services in public healthcare, don't we?
Yeah, for sure. Even during disasters also, there is high needs, like you mentioned just now, correctly said. We actually, even Be Vital, we actually responded to the flood relief in Kelantan, and also the recent one in the Klang Valley. So part of the treatment, apart from our mobile clinic, during our mobile clinic itself, I think 50% majority will be body and aches pain. Body ache pains, and that is why, apart from providing the medication, it's the treatment of physiotherapy itself. And then it's really simple. Sometimes even my volunteers, it's really magical. They say, because they came in with frown, they came in with limping. We do some treatment, and after that they can walk, and there's no pain at all. From pain 8 to 10, after that was 3 to 10. So it is workable, and then there is a treatment for it. We do this even during disasters. We do this even during our outreach. I just want to even stress out, there are treatment. You don't have to live with the pain. Any treatment, you from as low as ankle sprain or stroke, you can't walk. I've talked with Susha Ng before the show just now. We had patients who had limping because of stroke. Cannot climb stairs. Just after 4 treatments, he can walk independently. Wow. And then it's really remarkable. Even on a session, they came in with a pain score of like 8 to 9 of 10, and then they left with no pain at all. So the treatment is there, and then it's just that how to get the treatment. That's number one. Number two, I think we need to emphasize that you need to prevent from the pain or from the illness or the injuries coming back. I think that's the injury prevention part that is we are lacking. Sometimes it's just as simple as your biomechanics, how you sit, how you carry your bags, or how you do your work in the office or any work. So these are the things that we do also emphasize to patients, not just treating the injury itself, but preventing it from happening again. So, this is something I think we need to emphasize.
It sounds like quite a lot of the work that you do is very much non-pharmaceutical, and there's a lot of pain management benefits even to rehabilitation. And, in your outreach work that you've done, I mean, are you seeing more older people, younger people? Is it a mix? What kind of injuries are you seeing? And most importantly, what kind of support do you need to continue to sustain the work that you're doing? Because as Xiaoyi said, it's not sustainable to expect an NGO to continue on doing this. I mean, it is arguably a function of the government as well. What kind of support do you need from the government as well as private sector?
And I want to tag on a listener's question onto that. Where do you see Be Vital in the future? And, taking into account how significant rehab will be as well.
Yeah. So answering your first question is now as well. Yeah, we do see mixed, but sometimes we see a lot of even young patients. And this is what I think is critical, because they are the breadwinner of the family. So I think this is where our work is really, really impactful. But again, to continue our work, of course, at the end of the day, it's cost-wise. NGO, we usually depend on fundings from donations and all. But for us, that is why currently we open up a social enterprise so we can sustain on our own. And that is why we hope that this model, the cross-subsidy model that will apply to our social enterprise, we hope it will sustain, and then we can expand our work. The first time when we launched it, I think a few months ago, I got a question from the media asking, when are you opening up the second center? I think I just want to open this center first. We want to look up. I think it's the first in the country that we can open up a center which is a social enterprise model. I know there's a lot of hope in it, but again, the support from the people outside, it is there's few ways you can support our work. One thing, of course, if you can afford, our cost is very minimal compared to other centers. Can afford, come to the center, and you just not just helping yourself, but also others who cannot afford. I think that is where the key of a social enterprise. How we grow in the future and in public health sector in the country, I think we need a lot of investment in this. People have to look that, especially if we are the growing age, we have issues of pandemic of COVID-19, of course, but after that is the issue of NCDs. Now, with NCDs, the main solution to resolve NCDs is you need to do a lot of exercise, you need to do a lot of sports. But like again, Azrul, you have knee pain, how can you involve in sports?
Exactly. Yeah.
So there's a vicious cycle there that you need to settle this issue of, again, you have to be fit. And again, to do that, after you are fit, you are injury-free, only then you can do sports. And again, we can lose the burden of NCDs. So it's all interrelated. But I think we need to talk a lot more about this, and people need to know the significance about it. Not just, again, for livelihood, for the ones who really, really need to work, but also in a broader perspective of reducing the NCDs in the country.
And you can see the return on investment is vast for, what is actually, we're not talking about sophisticated or very sophisticated technology or equipment, right? We're talking about a pretty affordable kind of investment into rehab, and the returns are immense. I just want to quickly address a question from a listener because it sounds quite important. This listener was diagnosed with cervical spondylosis, has numbness and pain on the left arm, soreness on the neck, has gone for a number of physiotherapy center sessions, but it is challenging to take time off to go for these sessions. Are there any alternatives such as online videos to guide these exercises at home? Is it, and I think I want to add on a question, is it advisable for somebody with cervical spondylosis to attempt doing that at home. What do you think, Dr. Munawar?
Yeah, so for, number one, seek treatment first. Diagnose it with a doctor, confirm the diagnosis. And if it, the treatment, you mostly physiotherapy. Rarely you need surgery, mostly physiotherapy. And with physiotherapy, it can, if not cure, reduce and control and manage the pain and prevent from its worsening. So we went, one thing is we want to make sure that you reduce the complication. For example, first you can't, you only the pain, and later on you can't move your head, and after that it's really really disturbing that you can't do anything. So it is treatable with physiotherapy. In terms of the question about time off and getting treatment, like Azrul mentioned just now, the first thing is know how to do it first. Probably you won't need to do it every day in terms of going to the physiotherapy. But for example, probably once a week, you do it in front of the physio, and then you do it at home. Yes, there are some of the physiotherapy sessions that we do. We provide videos and all for them to continue the exercises at home. So it is doable, and I've seen also patients who can recover from spondylosis, either cervical or lumbar or back, I mean lower back or upper back. So just that, know how to get the treatment and don't give up. There is a treatment, just that you need to go to the process and recover.
So for anyone who's interested in finding out, Dr. Munawar, how do they contact Be Vital?
Yeah, so we are on all social medias, Be Vital Physiotherapy Center, Be Vital Physiotherapy Facebook, Instagram, and also Twitter. And apart from coming to the center also, I want to reach out to any volunteers out there, physiotherapists or doctors who want to join our outreach sessions during the weekends. Also, you can contact us via social medias, and this is you can anytime come to our center. Again, the more we treat patients, the more we can help more people.
Yeah, Azrul, do you have a final message?
Well, I just hope KJ visits your center then.
hopefully, give him a call. Eh?
I'm sure you have an open invitation for our Minister of Health, don't you, Dr. Munawar?
For sure. You're more than welcome.
Yeah. You're right, Azrul. There's this big, discussion going on about healthcare reforms. And I know there's a lot of talk about preventive care, primary care as well, being a big part of that conversation. I can totally see this fitting in. So, yeah, I hope somebody's exactly listening. And thank you so much. I've been speaking together with my co-host, Azrul Mohammad Khalib, CEO of the Galen Center for Health and Social Policy. We've been speaking to Dr. Ahmad Munawar Helmi Salim, founder of Be Vital Physiotherapy Center. You've been listening to Health and Living, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.